You know, we are in this series entitled Living Life Backwards as we're traveling with Solomon in his two books of the Bible that he wrote, and particularly the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon was supposed to be one of the wisest men that ever lived. And so he wrote Proverbs, which are kind of those classroom kind of teachings, the way to develop character, the way to live your life. And it all makes good sense, and it all has good rhythm to it. And you're just kind of going, yes, I can understand that. Yes, I believe in that. And then he writes Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes is like, this is what it's like to live in the real world. I mean, I'm sure you remember being in class and you're just going, and when will I ever use this, right? Or being in class and you're going, yes, I got that. Yes, I can do that. And then you went out into the real world and had to make it happen. And they were not the same, right? And that's really kind of where Solomon is. I mean, he has all these wonderful sayings and all these ways to build character and to live your life. And then he goes out and he does it. And so here he is leaving the classroom instructions behind, and he's out in the world. And he's also at the end of his life. And so he's looking back and he's beginning to say, wow. What was I thinking? You ever have any of those moments? You know, I mean, mothers, have you gotten a little bit of wisdom now and you're looking back going, man, if I did that again, I wouldn't do it quite the same. And then you're also going, man, am I glad I don't have to do that again. Right? I mean, there's both sides of it, right? It's all kind of right there. And so... Here is Solomon, and he's asking this question throughout Ecclesiastes, and it's a question that we find ourselves asking ourselves. Maybe we ask it out loud. Maybe we ask it in the quiet. Maybe we're not even aware that we're asking it, but it's a question nonetheless that where am I going with my life? Now, some days it's just like, what am I going to do today? Right? What needs to get done today? But where am I going with my life? It's not a bad thing to think. It's not a bad thing to ponder. But here's an old saying that I want you to remember to kind of bookend around that question of where am I going with my life. It's this. You are not what you think you are, but what you think you are. Do you hear the difference? What we think about, what we do as we are thinking, we become. And that's what Solomon is going to speak to us about today. That's how he's kind of shifting his thoughts. He's challenging us to think about a new way of living. He wants to change the way that we think about the world, the way that we look at the world. And he gives us a question. He gives us a question that shifts from how am I doing, what am I doing with my life, to how are we doing? How are we doing life? He shifts from me to we. He's wanting us to realize that, you know, he did not put us here alone. He didn't put Adam and Eve in the garden alone. He put Adam and Eve in the garden with him. He wasn't even alone in the beginning. He was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We were never intended to be alone. I mean, when Adam and Eve got it and they were just living life alone, they kind of messed up, right? You ever get that way? You ever get inside your head so much that you begin to just think about all those things about yourself? And does that ever turn out well? Wow. And for some of us, we can go a long time in there, right? It just doesn't come out. I mean, what Solomon wants us to know is this: wisdom is in friendship. Wisdom is in friendship. And so in chapter 4, we hear that, and we're going to hear it in just a moment in really good words, that wisdom is in friendship. And he begins by unpacking chapter 4 in a not-so-wonderful kind of words, but because he begins to share with us the marks of a broken community. Okay, now here's how Solomon describes that broken community, that community where it's all about me and not about we. Here's what he writes. "Again, I saw all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold the tears of the oppressed, and they had no one to comfort them. On the side of their oppressors there was power, and there was no one to comfort them. And I thought, the dead who are already dead, more fortunate are they than the living who are still alive." Man, that is really uplifting for Mother's Day. "But better than both is he who has not yet been born." Woo! "And who has not seen the evil deeds that are done under the sun. Then I saw the toil and all the skill and work come from a man's envy of his neighbor. This also is vanity, a striving after the wind." It's a vapor. "The fool folds his hand and eats his own flesh. Better is a handful of quietness than two hands of full of toil and a striving after wind. And again I saw vanity under the sun, one person who has no other, either son or brother, yet there is no end to all his toil, and his eyes are never satisfied with riches, so that he never asks, 'For whom am I toiling and depriving myself of pleasure?' This also is vanity and unhappiness and business." I mean, the man on the street's calling it out, isn't it? He's saying, life is not always pretty. And he says, "Behold, I saw, behold, I heard, behold, these things are out there. I saw the evil that's done under the sun." He says, I want you to make sure you're seeing that this is reality. This is it. And what he's really describing is not just his broken world, but our present broken world. I mean, our world can look like that from time to time. Amen? I mean, it's not always cheerful here. You know, and we might feel sometimes like we felt whenever our mothers scolded us or when our mothers put us in time out. We might feel like, you know, I could just run away. I could just be somebody else's kid, right? That's what Solomon says, I'd be better off dead. I'm helpless. And he talks about people who are inspired with envy. You know, they're dissatisfied all the time. And that loneliness is at an all-time high. And people are experiencing friendlessness. And that's our world. I mean, the number one thing that's kind of climbing in people's anxiety is that they feel alone, right? And then he has this thing that he says later on. He says, "And those that are leading," which was him, "have grown old and foolish, and they still won't get out of the saddle." Have you ever known a leader that stayed on too long? Maybe you worked for one. Maybe you are one. You know, I knew a preacher once. He says, "You know, I'll retire soon," and he says, "I just hope I know it before they do." Right? I just hope I know it, you know. And all these things, it shouldn't be a surprise to us that Solomon is dealing with those things. We are still dealing with those because Solomon says over and over, what, in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. We may experience it a little bit different, but hurt is hurt, amen? Struggle is struggle. And wisdom is still wisdom. And Solomon then is kind of focusing on this, and he points out the oppression that's there, which is oppression that is still alive and well today. It may look different, But oppression happens any time that someone takes advantage of another. Oppression happens any time that we rob someone of their power, someone of their dignity, someone of their skills. It happens every time that we gain something at someone else's expense. It could be physical, it could be emotional, it could be financial, it could even be spiritual kind of ways that people are oppressed. But it's when we are controlling someone or someone is controlling us for their own self-interest. And that's just the opposite of God's story, isn't it? It's just the opposite of what Jesus taught us. It's just the opposite of living the life that we are called to live. And it's a great evil before God. It happens to the marginalized, to the minorities, to the disabled, to those without a voice or power, but it's not limited to them. And Solomon sees all of this in the beginning part of chapter 4. He's kind of without hope for a while. But really what we come to know in a moment, and what we come to know even as we heard that anthem, what we come to know in Jesus is this, that our Creator God is a God of love. Amen? And we do not need to flee from that God. God knows what we need, and we hear it in the voices of the prophets. We hear it in the voices of the prophets known as the Beatles. All you need is love. Right? That's what we need. Tony Campolo, a famous preacher and lecturer and sometimes comedian even, he tells a story. It's one of my favorite stories that Tony tells. He tells the story of when he was going to Hawaii, and he gets there, and you know, when you go somewhere long distance, you have your times are all messed up, amen? And he gets there, and it's the middle of the night, and he should be sleeping, but he is wide awake. And so he decides that he'll get out and go for a walk, and he comes across this little hole-in-the-wall kind of diner. And he goes in and he's thinking, you know, I'm kind of hungry. And he sits down at the bar there in the diner. And this kind of large man comes out, got greasy hair and everything. And all of a sudden, he's not very hungry anymore as he's looking at him as the cook. But he says, I'll take a donut and some black coffee. And so as he's sitting there eating his donut and drinking his coffee, it's 3:30 in the morning. And in walk 8 or 9 of these ladies of the evening. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, and these ladies of the evening, and they are all coming in, and they're smoking, and they're cussing, and they're doing all kinds of things. And he was thinking, you know, maybe I ought to just slip out. And one of them sits down next to him with her friend, and she says, you know, tomorrow's my birthday. I'm going to be 39. And the other woman just looks at her and says, well, so what do you want me to do about it? You want me to bake you a cake and throw you a party or something? And she says, no, I didn't want you to do anything about it. She says, I don't know what I would do. I've never had a birthday party. I've never had a birthday cake in all my 39 years. It just hasn't happened. So why should I want one now? And then they got up and left. And so Tony begins to have this thought in his head, and he asks the guy behind the counter, he says, do they come here every night? He says, yep, they're always here, same time. And he says, well, does the one that was sitting next to me, is she always here? He says, yep, she's always here. Well, she said that tomorrow was her birthday, and that got me thinking, you know, it got me thinking that maybe we should do something about that. And all of a sudden, this crusty guy, kind of grumpy, gets this smile on his face, and he says, yeah. He says, and Tony says, well, would you let me throw a party? I'll bring some decorations. And the guy said, you know, leave the cake up to me. I can get the cake. And so they got everything together, and about 2:30 the next night, 2:30 in the morning the next night, Tony shows up, he's got crepe paper, he's got balloons, he's got everything set, and the guy behind the counter, he's got the birthday cake, and about 3:30, here they come. And they must have got the word out, because it wasn't just the 8 or 9. I mean, the place was packed with these ladies of the evening. And when the woman walks in, her name's Agnes. When Agnes walks in, everybody just says, "Happy birthday, Agnes!" And she's just stunned. She's just blown away. And then when they come carrying out the cake and it's got all the candles on it and they sing happy birthday to her, it's just all she can do to hold it together and contain herself. But then whenever the guy behind the counter says, "Well, blow out the candles for crying out loud," she just loses it. After she's pulled herself back together, the guy behind the counter, he's blown out the candles for her. And after she pulls herself together, they tell her to cut the cake. And finally she just says, "Would it be okay if I didn't cut the cake? Would it be okay if I took it home and just held on to it for a little while?" "Well, of course it would be fine, Agnes. Whatever you want to do, it'll be fine. You can keep the cake. The cake is yours." So she scoops up the cake and she leaves the diner to go home. Well, everybody that's there is just stunned by what they have just seen and what has just happened, and it's silent, and no one knows what to do. And so Tony, you know, being the pastor that he is, he says, "Well, let's pray." Woo! Kind of like preaching after the choir sang, you know, "Let's pray." And so they prayed together, and they prayed for Agnes, and they prayed for God's presence to be with them all, and then they began to drift out. And the guy behind the counter, he says, "You know," he says, "you didn't tell me you were a pastor." And Tony says, "Well, it didn't make any difference." Well, he says, "I just can't really believe you were a pastor. I mean, what kind of pastor would have a birthday party with ladies of the evening? What kind of church would do that?" And Tony just simply said, "The church that I go to would do that. The church that I go to would do that." Wouldn't you want to go to a church like that? A church that just really says all you really need is love. And love for those folks that are oppressed. Love for those folks that are not perfect. Love for those folks who are struggling in the world to just know what to do. A church where it's not about me, a church where it's about we. What will we do for the kingdom of God? What kind of people are we becoming in God's eyes? What kind of people are we when we go out into the world as the body of Christ? This is what Solomon is telling us. We need to switch how we look at life. We need to move from "where am I going with my life?" to "where are we going with our lives?" Where is God leading us in this kind of way? Because when we're just thinking about me and not we, we're not loving our neighbors, amen? And when I'm hating my neighbor, I'm really destroying myself. Do you hear that? Solomon encourages us to love our oppressors. Jesus encourages us to love our enemies. For as believers, we can never just hold our arms out and keep people away from us. That's about as far from the Christian faith as you can get. Amen? Instead, Jesus tells us to engage injustice and oppression. He invites us to live and share life together. Jesus and Paul and other writers of the New Testament challenge us over and over to live the life you have now instead of longing for the life you think you will have, but which you cannot control at all. Live the life that Christ has opened to you in this moment, in this time, and in this place. Live it with the people that are right around you. You don't have to choose new friends in order to make friends. Amen? You don't have to choose to live in a different house in order to enjoy what God has given you. You don't have to wait for that moment when everything aligns so that you can actually enjoy a day off. If you do, it's never going to happen. Agreed? If we're always waiting for the grass to get greener, when it happens, the neighbor's yard will be greener still. Thank you. That's what leads us to envy, right? That kind of envy is the current situation and the current world that we already find ourselves in, Solomon says. And here's what envy does. The path of envy ends up in friendlessness, loneliness, isolation, and alienation. Just think about that for a minute.
Thank you, Sam.
Solomon reminds us that a moment of quietness is better than all that toil. When Solomon is talking about quietness, think what it means to be quiet in your heart, in your soul. I mean, just when you're quiet in there, you just kind of, breathing becomes easier, doesn't it? When you're quiet there, you're not anxious, you're not toiling, you're not working at things. There's rest. There's peace. Quietness brings happiness into our life. Amen? That's what God does for us. And then Solomon, he moves from this broken kingdom to the redeemed kingdom. They're very different, these two communities. One is marked by our lack of love for our neighbor, and the other is just the opposite. Here's what Solomon writes. He says, two are better than what? One. Because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. I think that was kind of like me when I was planting shrubs yesterday. And thank heavens Denise was there to help me up from time to time. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. What Solomon is saying on this journey, on this life that we live together, is do life with others. Have friends. Be a friend. Learn friendship. Living for others and not for me makes us happier. It makes us wealthier. It makes us healthier. And growing in that kind of way is good, right? When I was growing up, I grew up in a little town called Hopkins. North Nottoway was our school, and graduating class of 32. Woohoo! And so there we were, and we played basketball against this school called Northeast Nottoway. That was in Ravenwood, Missouri. And they were even smaller than us. But there was a basketball coach there named Claude Sampson. And Claude had been there forever. I think he taught Moses how to play basketball. You know, and Claude never lost. Ever. Now, it wasn't because his girls played better basketball. It wasn't because they were more talented. It wasn't because there were great stars in Ravenwood, Missouri. It was because he taught them how to play as a team. Do you hear me? You know, because most teams, whenever they get rattled, there's at least one, maybe five, on the floor at once who decide they will be the hero. Amen? And usually gets worse at that point. But Claude could make a team play as a team every single time. And they sacrificed for each other. And because of that, they never, ever lost. I don't know how many state championships he won in his lifetime there. I just know we never beat him. You know? And that's really what Solomon is reminding us. Do life together. Remember, keep the end in mind. Because at the end of our life, we're not going to say, you know, if I just get this one more contract signed before I die, it's going to be okay. No, we don't think that way, do we? I mean, at the end of our life, what do we want to do? We want to be able to say to someone one more time, I love you, right? We want to be with those folks that are close to us just a little bit longer. Amen? At the end of our life, it's we, not me. Isn't that right? Our priority is always going to be on other people in that kind of way. So in this day, we recognize the importance of that we. And that's just even part of what Mother's Day is about, right? Is recognizing that importance of we. And all the brokenness that happens and all the ways that we envy and all the ways that come between us. What we want to do is we want to grow to be a better friend. We want to grow to be a better person. We want to grow to be a better follower of Jesus. I think and I trust that you do too. Drew Hunter writes on the subject of friendship. He says, what if you could have a friend who knew you better than anyone, better than you even know yourself? What if knowing everything about you, he still loved you and even liked you? What if you could have a friend who by his very relationship with you would transform you to become a better friend to others? You want a friend like that? Hello, you want a friend like that? Shoo! His name is Jesus. Friend of sinners. Our friendship with Jesus not only gives us eternal life, but it shapes and transforms our lives so we can be friends with others. Isn't that what Jesus said? No longer do I call you slaves or servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you, what? Friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. That's what a friend does, isn't it? Makes known to us things we need to know. You're invited to be a friend of Jesus, to be a, have a life in Christ, to be learning what it means to be a friend, to be opening your lives to others, to be opening your life to God, to be opening your life to what the Spirit is telling you. We can be friends like that because Jesus is a friend like that that sticks to us no matter what we have done. He is the one who really sticks to us and helps us to stick to others. We, not me, is always going to be better for me than only me. Make an effort to be a friend of Jesus today. Amen? Make an effort to be kind and loving to the folks around you today. Make an effort to be open to His Spirit. Gracious and holy God, we are grateful that you reach out to us and you make us into new beings, that you call us to be your people and to not live life alone. Continue to speak to us, O God. Continue to allow us to know the importance of living for we instead of me. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I was growing up, one of the other things that I never did was I never sang in public. Okay, even in church, I mouthed the words more often than I sang them out loud. So whenever my grandparents invited me to come and sing at their church for a special service, I was kind of mortified, as you can imagine. So I rehearsed and I practiced, and I needed someone like Kip, but I didn't have anyone like Kip. And so instead, I picked this song, "I'd Rather Have Jesus," to be my debut, because it is my heart and because it is my life's goal and pursuit. May we stand together and may it become our goal together.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver, gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His name.
Desire is to know and to love God. May we know God, may we love God as we offer our lives, as we offer our gifts, both here in person and online. May we make a joyful offering of all that God has given us. Thanks be to God. Thank you.
God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Gracious God, with our lives, with our mouths, with all that we offer here in this day, we offer you praise. Receive all these things, O God. Use them for your kingdom. Use them that others might come to know you. We do this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite you to be seated right now and just watch this little tribute.
We are mothers.
We are mothers.
We are mothers. We're the ones who are stretched thin
and stretched far.
The ones who live on caffeine
and God's grace.
We're the ones whose hearts are walking around outside of our bodies.
We are the women who love children that we didn't birth.
The women who wait to hold the babies we couldn't carry.
And the women who ache for a dream
that sometimes feels unseen.
We're the North Stars
who guide our children home
and welcome them back into the fold,
no matter how far they might have gone.
We are the ones who love this life,
even on the days we don't like it.
Motherhood is harder
and holier
and better than we ever thought.
Some days you want to quit.
Most days you can't imagine your life being anything else.
But becoming a mother changes everything.
And here's the truth
that we all need to be reminded of today.
God chose you.
God chose you in this time
for your children.
He called you.
He anointed you.
He entrusted you.
He trusts you.
God knew exactly what he was doing
when he gave you your children.
He knew the long nights and the short years.
He knew the long nights and the short years.
He knew the pain
and the incredible joy. And he knew that there was no better mom for the job
than you.
Today,
we celebrate you.
Today, we honor you
because you carry
one of the hardest
and holiest callings.
You are a mother. You are a mother.
You are a mother.
You are a mother.
So I'm mindful on Mother's Day that I have more than one mother. I have one mother by birth, and she's still living, and I am extremely grateful for her. But I had a lot of other women in my life who mothered me. Anybody else say yeah to that? You know? And some of them had children of their own, and some of them did not. Some of them were older than me, and some of them now at this stage of my life have been younger than me. But I'm grateful that God called and put them into my life to nurture me, to surround me with just mercy that overflows over and over. How about you? You got anybody like that in your life? And whether you are today a person who has been able to have your own children, or whether you're a person today who has had to say goodbye to children, or whether you're a person today that has longed to have children of your own but been unable, here is the truth. God has made you a mother to all of his children. Amen. And he has called you to nurture and to care for and to love and to bless and encourage and welcome, as Jesus did, all the little children unto him. Amen. So today we give thanks. We give thanks for mothers everywhere. Mothers by birth, mothers by adoption, mothers who have accepted children not their own as their own, wherever they may find them. May we just give thanks for a moment before we have a prayer blessing. Would you just give thanks to God for those people in your life right now? Would you do that? And then for all of you in this day, hear and receive this prayer of blessing. God, we thank you for our mothers, living, and those who have gone before, and those who did not give birth to us but loved us in spite of that. We thank you for all of those women who have loved us well. We thank you for their faith, for their devotion, for their courage, for their kindness. Lord, bless them today. Give them joy, give them peace, and give them hope. For these truly are heroes among us. And we thank you, God, for each one who is and who will be. In Jesus' name, amen. May we stand together now as we sing our closing hymn.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told my love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Bleeding side, consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer, and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are hearts of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
It has been good to be here and worship with you today, and it's great to have you join us online as well. Just a couple quick announcements. There are those in your program there. There are lots of things going on this week, people getting together and things to join, so I would just call your attention to those. And next Sunday, we'll be honoring our graduates during our worship time. So if you're a graduate, we want to make sure you come. If you got a graduate in your house or in your family, make sure that we know that. We would love to celebrate with them. And it's going to be a wonderful time to do just that. So as we go forth from this place, as we go forth to love and serve our God, know this. You are loved by God. And there's nothing you can do about it. Just turn to someone and just say that. You're loved by God and there's nothing you can do about it. Just tell them that. Feels good, doesn't it? Feels good. You are loved by God and there's nothing you can do about it. But because you are loved by God, you can go and love and serve others. Amen. Go and do just that. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.